buckle up. It's showtime.
I say it's an honor to be a food stamp president. Food stamps feed the hungry. Food stamps save the children. Food stamps helps the farmer. Food stamp helps the truck driver. Food stamps help the warehouse. Food stamps help the store. Food stamps hire people and feed people. Food stamps save people from starvation and malnutrition. Whenever you attack feeding the hungry, you undermine the moral authority of our faith. Give President Barack Obama a big hand. Show your love. Show your appreciation.
BlogTalkRadio.com. It's Reese on the radio on this September 7, 2012. Now, I already know that I'm going to be in a bad mood today. I'll tell you that right off the bat. I'm not going to be in a good mood today. I'm already ticked off. And I don't even have to be, folks. I don't even have to be. But I am, you know. I'm going to try to be calm and not lose my temper. See, when I get mad, I'm the worst kind of individual because then I can get really vicious. I get really, really sharp with the tongue. But I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to try to restrain. I'm going to try to calm myself down. I'm going to try to calm myself down. Because I'm not going to let this get to me. It's just a little personal thing right now. I'm a little ticked off about. But that's okay. You know, sometimes, you know, you have to check people. And I think that's what I'm going to have to do. But I'll get into that another time. Jobless numbers, 96,000 jobs. Unemployment rate drops to 8.1%. Could this work out for the President of the United States? Well, CNN seems to think so. Now, I want you to get the concept of idiocy here, especially a media that is trying so hard to reelect this president, even though they've got nothing to go on. CNN reported today, I kid you not, that if Barack Obama gets lucky and brings the unemployment rate down to 7.9%, that then he can say that he did what he said he was going to do in his first term by bringing the unemployment rate under 8%. It may take until the last 2 months till the election. But he gets to say, I did it. And for some odd reason, they're taking that accomplishment as a good thing. What they're failing to mention is the fact that it got down to 8.1% because there are yet less people who are looking for work. And the less people you have looking for work, it scales the number down. So he got a gimme, he got a mulligan with a lower rate, but yet the facts are that unemployment is at 11%. The facts are is that black unemployment is at 14%. The facts are Latino unemployment is over 10%. Those are the facts. But CNN wants him to be able to play a numbers game so that they can have positive reporting for the President of the United States. This is appalling by the news media. But it does nothing because the facts are the facts. And this Negro must go. He must leave. Now, there's not a lot of talk about President Obama's speech last night. There's not a lot of talk, ladies and gentlemen. And there's a reason why. It's because it was horrible. Because it was horrible. They knew going into this, he was not going to come out and sound triumphant. He couldn't. He was not going to go out there and rally the troops. He can't. But let me tell you what President Obama did last night. And I have to break it down to you. You see, when President Obama back in 2008 gave his roaring speech at Invesco Field, which, by the way, is I hear now called Sports Authority Field, Invesco Field in Denver, Colorado, his message was clear. You have made the choice to change your country. You, the voter, you picking him made the change. You picking him, you wanted change in America. That's why I'm here. You did it. You are the ones who elected me so that I could bring you change. You told America you wanted change. That's why I'm here. And don't worry, because the seas would recede and the air would get cleaner. I forget what he said. I'm paraphrasing here. But you remember, when he said literally he was going to stop the rise of the oceans. That was the whole idea. And the earth began to heal. That's what he said he was going to bring. But in his 4 years, forget about Iraq and Afghanistan. Let's just forget about that. The world was going to heal. How many civil wars were there? Need I count the ways? The Arab Spring, everybody calls it the collective of Arab Spring, but let's go into the Arab Spring. Bahrain, Libya, Egypt, now Syria. And don't forget about the little outbursts in Turkey. And don't forget the constant war between India and Pakistan. There was no peace. The world did not heal. Gaddafi gone. Mubarak gone. Assad about to be gone. If he's lucky, he gets to stay. Putin is back in Russia. I thought the earth was going to heal. So what did he do when he got out there in that speech? He changed his tone completely. Like no one saw it. He pulled the old okey-doke. He turned around and told the American people last night, if you get rid of me, it's your fault. If I lose the election, it's your fault. It's your fault. You are the change, he said last night. You are. You're the change. So if you vote me out, you're voting against yourselves. If you don't go out there and get more people to vote and get them to donate more money, and we don't get this airstrike going, he sent it in a donation email, sent an email out there, we're losing the air war, and you're not getting the message out. Oh, I'm paraphrasing here. But it's up to you. It's up to you. F what I do up here. You don't have to go out there and tell people what I'm doing. Don't sweat that. Just tell them I'm going to lose. Don't they want to be a part of what we did in 2008? Come on. I'm Barack. Come on. If you want that change, you're going to have to get out there and tell your friends and your family, get out there and vote. Forget about what we did. Kerry Washington is another stupid story. There are people out there trying to keep you from voting. Yeah, that broad said that last night. There are people out there trying to keep you from voting. Women. Creating straw men all day, every day. They want to do this to you. They want to do that to you. This is what they're going to do to you. This is what they're not going to do for you. You've got to make the change. You've got to make the change. You voted for change. You've got to keep it here. It's on you. If we lose, it's your fault. Because you didn't want the change. You ain't really want it. Those who really want it, they got to keep me here. Other than that, you're going to change to that guy. That's going to be on you. Now, I know he's promising things like jobs, but I got welfare. I got food stamps here. I got EBT. What's up? But it got worse than that, folks. It got worse than that. Let me tell you where it got worse. The fact that Joe Biden's speech was better than Barack Obama's is stunning. But then again, I knew that. Because Joe Biden, as much as they put three teleprompters in front of him, one big TV screen in front, two teleprompters on the either side, he still couldn't read them. Old Bumbling Joe couldn't find the right words at any time. He had a teleprompter, but he said literally a billion times. Literally, 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 literally. It was so bad. I kid you not, that the word literally was taken by the White House on Twitter so no one could acquire it. Because they knew that it was going to be taken, because people were literally on Twitter. Yeah, I did that. People were on Twitter mocking him for using the word literally. Literally and literally, he had a teleprompter in front of him, and nobody typed in literally that much. But it was hilarious. Now, I got to play this audio because I've got so much other stuff to get into. This audio, for me, is pertinent. Because, again, a perfect example of stupidity comes from the Democrat Party. And these are the people who are out there telling their friends and family how to vote. They are standing up for President Barack Obama. Now, I don't know how many people are familiar with a group called Reason TV. Reason.tv. But I caught on to this little ditty, and I was amazed.
Zach Weissmuller for Reason TV. We're here in Charlotte, North Carolina, on day one of the Democratic National Convention. We're going to talk to Democratic delegates and supporters about the issue of choice. We want to see if the respect for choice extends to other areas of human activity besides abortion. One thing we're talking about today here is choice. The Democratic platform strongly supports Roe v. Wade. Are you pro-choice?
I'm absolutely pro-choice.
Are you pro-choice?
Yes.
It's a woman's right to choose what she wants to do with her body.
Why is choice an important issue?
Because a woman should have a right to choose based on her doctor and her family's decisions.
There's been trans fat bans in certain states, bans on large sodas. Are you pro-choice in terms of what you put in your own body?
I think a lot of people make harmful decisions. There's alcohol, there's cigarette smoking. And so I understand the government trying to intervene because the American taxpayer pays a lot of money for fat people.
Mississippi's the fattest state in the union, and if anybody could use some reduction in the trans fat they intake, it would be my state.
So in that case, you're for taking away the consumer choice?
Absolutely.
Chuck Schumer was pushing the ban of Four Loko, which is a combination of caffeine and alcohol. That seems like a clear taking away of a choice. Would you not agree with that?
Well, Is it really a choice? You're deciding to do something that's not healthy for you.
That's a choice, right?
But if you decide to do something that's not healthy for you, let's talk about the results of that action that you take.
So people should only be allowed to make good choices.
No, people should make the choices that have good results.
Should consumers have a choice in what kind of light bulbs they want to buy?
No, they shouldn't, because if they're polluting the earth, it's going to last longer than their lifetime.
You're okay with restricting choice when life.
No, I'm sorry about that. I don't know why I'm pausing here. That was odd. You get the picture. Need I go any further? You get the picture. These people are absolute morons. Complete morons. They're talking about good choices. You want a 32-ounce Slurpee? No. Government says you can't have that. That's a bad choice. Too many fat people out there. Well, I want to smoke cigarettes. Bad choice. Government says that you can't have that because that's not good for your health. Bad choice. People are going to have to eventually pay for you if you get emphysema or if you get cancer. Someone else is going to have to pay for that. Bad choice. Well, I want to drink alcohol. Bad choice. Government says not healthy for you. Can't do it. Someone else is going to have to pay for your treatment. We don't believe that we should have to pay for your treatment. Bad choice. I want to get an abortion. Go right ahead. So I can kill the baby, but I can't smoke, drink, or have a big gulp. No. Bad choice. How about the government paying for you to kill your baby? That's fine. Absolutely fine. I'm cool with that. Yep. Absolutely. Some people can't afford to have a baby. So, yeah, we'd like to pay for the killing. You know, we should all be able to make sure that they don't bring that child into the world if it's not a good choice for them. No, you're not allowed to have a choice for anything else. But killing your baby? Nope, that's you. Yeah. And it's baffling because he's literally catching these people out there. The one that I wanted to play, my favorite one about this was when they were asking these women, some of them, most of them women, asking these women about right-to-work states. And he asked the question, and it seemed like some of them didn't even understand it. He asked, do you think you should be forced to join a union? And they said no. So then he says, then you're for a right-to-work state. Oh, no, I'm not for that. Well, bitch, what the hell did you think a right-to-work state was? And it's like they don't even understand the actual point. They don't even understand the policy. They only understand the code words, the terms. They hyperbole. That's the part that baffles the crap out of me. Okay, I finally got it. I got the audio up again. I'm going to see if I can push it back because you have to hear the rest of this. And this one black woman he's talking to is the most insane out of all of them. But it's clearly, these are delegates, folks. And these are delegates he's talking to here. Hold on, here we go.
Should consumers have a choice in what kind of light bulbs they want to buy?
No, they shouldn't, because if they're polluting the earth, it's going to last longer than their lifetime.
You're okay with restricting choice in light bulbs.
Yeah, and even if you do prefer the warm glow, if you're that particular about the lighting, does that really come before the safety and future of our planet?
To choose not to be in a union, is that a choice that should be?
It should be a choice not to be in a union. Yep.
So you're in favor of rights to work?
No, choice not to be in a union, but I think unions do good. So I would choose. I guess not. I'm not in favor of rights to work.
She doesn't even know. Listen to this broad. She has no idea. She's completely caught in the crosshairs.
So you're in favor of rights to work?
No, choice not to be in a union, but I think unions do good. So I would choose. I guess not. I'm not in favor of right to work.
Should people have the choice not to join a union?
Actually, no. I don't like the right to work states.
You're from Louisiana. What about school choice? The choice of parents to send their kids to whatever school they think is best?
Well, I think if you had reasonable schools that were held to accountability and used a reasonable curriculum, I think it would be a wonderful thing. There are a lot of for-profit charter schools.
Is the profit motive a bad thing?
I think the profit motive is not something that should be interjected into public education. I'm ABD, all but dissertation, all right? It was hard enough for me to navigate my child through her educational progress, right? When you're talking about people who, for no reason of their own, are unable to understand the educational system, yes, I think there ought to be some regulations in place to help those parents and to provide for the future of their children.
Okay. But you are pro-choice.
I'm definitely pro-choice when it comes to people's bodies.
I do want to reiterate, you are pro-choice, though.
I'm pro-choice on everything about everything about everything. The person should have a right to choose. But there should be an informed choice, and government has a role in that.
So there you go. Government has a role in that. Pro-choice, but government has a role in that. Now, I bring this up because I'm going to bring up one more point. I wanted to play this audio, but this is what I heard today. Scariest freaking story I've heard so far. I'm hoping this does not become a trend. If you get a chance, look it up. Gaithersburg Elementary School in Maryland. Gaithersburg, G-A-I-T-H-E-R-S-B-E-R-G. Gaithersburg Elementary School in Maryland. One of the first schools in the district to abolish homework. Now, folks, pay attention to what I'm saying here, because most people would say, ah, that doesn't appear to be too radical. Trust me, it's radical, because the principal of the school has decided to replace homework with having the children go home and read for 30 minutes. That's their homework. That's it. Go home and read for 30 minutes. Their biggest problem with this was, at the beginning, was that the school, each class was allowed to go to the school library once a week. Now, I remember that when I was in junior high and high school. Well, not high school. High school, you can go anytime you want. Junior high school, that was a big thing. Grade school, same deal. You go to the library once a week. You had a chance to go there. You get a book. Maybe you finish it. You bring it back. Or if you go back the next week, you can renew your sort of, you know, the time you had on the book. Okay? So what they did was they changed it so now that the kids could get a hall pass to go to the library to go get a new book. And they could take out two books whenever it is that they want to. But their homework is specifically to go home and read for 30 minutes. There is the reason that they give. The reason that they give is that they said that the homework that they were giving these children when they went home was not in conjunction with the classwork that kids were getting in school. And that, in essence, if the kids were doing fractions in school, they were getting multiplication problems on these worksheets that they were taking home. So the teacher said that they were evaluating that. This principal said they evaluated that. And this, when they found out that it really didn't coincide with what it was that they were doing in school. So we just said abolish it altogether. Just go home and read a book for 30 minutes and then come into school and we'll learn. But then I watched the video. And I started looking at the kids who were in the classroom. And they were talking to a couple of the parents. And you can only guess one thing, folks. When they asked one of the parents in the school, what do you think about this new program where the kids only read for 30 minutes a day at home? And the mother looked directly in the camera and she said, I think it's a good thing. Sometimes the kid go home and he needs some relaxing time. And now he gets to relax. He see home and read a book at 30 minutes. And then he go back to school and he learn. It's because these kids come from immigrant parents who don't speak English. And the parents aren't helping them with their homework. And these kids are coming home, and they're asking Mama Manuela and Papa Manuel for help in their schoolwork. And Pablo Guzman cannot help these kids when they get into the house. That's the problem. So the kids are going home to a bunch of denunts who've raised them. And there's no way that these kids can come home with the correct homework. So this woman is bullspitting me the entire story, saying, oh, we looked at the homework and it didn't seem to coincide with the... No. These kids were coming home with 2 plus 2 equals 89. That's what happened. You couldn't go out there and do what you did to those black kids in Georgia. You couldn't say Juan Valdez has a bag of 100 coffee beans. The donkey gets into the bag and eats 40%. You couldn't do that. Because somebody would deem that racist. So we just gave her the homework. We cut out the middleman. No homework for anybody. Go home and read, Conchita. It's okay. I don't care what you read. People magazine, en español. I don't care what you read. Just go home and you read for 30 minutes. This is disgusting. I'm ashamed. And this poor white woman, I look at this woman. She seems a nice enough lady. But you got to watch it. It's on foxdc.com. MyFoxDC.com. You've got to watch the video yourself. As soon as you hear that mother talk, sometimes now he come home and he relax now. He relaxing, and you know he not so stressed. No, bitch, you're not stressed. I don't understand this. What's a verb? This don't make no sense. That's okay. You're not gonna know nothing here anyway. That's exactly what's happening. It's disgusting. I'll take a break. I think I've been racially charged enough.
Y'all back in chains. And when he gets called out for it, we Republicans get accused of taking what he said out of context. It's always us taking y'all out of context. It's always you're so misunderstood. And y'all are getting more indignant by the day as we Republicans expose you for how cynical, hateful, greedy, covetous, racist, and just straight up nuttier than a jar of Skippy you Democrats actually are.
I think what's happening.
Propaganda.
Glaring examples I like to point to about how Democrats are always making excuses is Bill Clinton at Robert Byrd's memorial. Bill Clinton tries to make light of Democrat Senator Robert Byrd being in the KKK and tries to sell us on overlooking the racist position he ran on by saying, give him a break. He was just trying to get elected. You're exactly right, Bill. That was key for Democrats. And a big reason why they got elected was because they were trusted to represent the racist sentiments of their constituency. This is at the core of the Democrat Party. People didn't vote for Republicans for this. They voted Democrat. But the Republican Party is the party of racists. Based on what? Barry Goldwater? Lee Atwater? Strom Thurmond? Did I miss anybody? I'm sure you liberals got a few cherry-picked figures for your talking points. But while you try to recite these names, keep in mind the words of your Democrat darling, Bill Clinton. Robert Byrd was just trying to get elected. That's pretty much the way it was for Democrats, period. The hotbeds of bigotry in America are commonly recognized as the southern states, right? And keep in mind, the people are going to vote for those who represent their racist values. And we've already agreed that the southern states have been the hottest for bigotry, right? Well, that list of so-called racist Republicans that liberals try to bring up is as insignificant as the last sheet of tissue on a toilet paper roll after Michael Moore binges on buffalo wings. Let's look at these racist states, shall we? Texas. Oh, yeah. Whole lot of racist rednecks down there. And, of course, they're going to want people in office who represent their white supremacist culture, right? That's why out of 47 governors, 38 of them have been Democrats and only 7 have been Republican. Oh, but years of Democrat racist representation is nothing compared to the strategies of Bush Sr.'s campaign manager Lee Atwater. But hold on. That's just one of those ultra-racist states. Alabama had 53 governors. 42 have been Democrats. Only 6 chosen by the people of that state were Republican. But you want to hold Republicans responsible for racism. Okay. The racist Democrat representation continues with Mississippi. Ooh-wee, that's a barroom hoedown of bigotry right there. They've had 64 governors in that state. 52 have been Democrats, and only 6 have been Republicans. Yeah, but Strom Thurmond, shut up. What about Democrat segregationist Lester Maddox? And for every so-called racist Republican you liberals try to point to, there's like 10 Democrat actual racists. But y'all still really want to believe that racism is the fault of Republicans that badly, huh? Despite these figures? Okay, let's continue. And I'm not even talking about congressmen and senators and mayors and such. That would take too long. But yes, the majority of them were Democrats too. Georgia has had 82 governors. 47 were Democrats. Only 4 were Republicans. Louisiana, a lot of racism there. 53 governors. 30 were Democrats. 11 have been Republicans. Arkansas, 45 governors. 8 Republicans. The rest were Democrats. Tennessee, 58 governors. 10 Republicans. 34 of them were Democrats. South Carolina, 116 governors. 8 of them Republicans. 90 of them were Democrats. Do I really need to go through all these states where racism was the hottest? I thought you were Democrats. Isn't it the majority rules in your party? Well, the majority of your party's history is racist, yet because of minority instances of arguable racism in the Republican Party, the minority ruling is that the Republicans are racist? See how contradictory y'all are? Are you understanding that the racist population in these states that are commonly known as the most racist states of the United States elected people who represented their racist values, and the people representing their racist values were Democrats? You can't lay the blame on Republicans when it was Democrats controlling these states. The Democrat Party platform is rooted in racism. Have you ever read the original Democrat Party platform? The original included language to protect their so-called right to force people into slavery. But Republicans are the racists because the original Republican Party platform was to abolish slavery? And when liberals are reminded of this, they always say the same thing. Yeah, well, you know what, Zoe? That was a long time ago, and you need to get over it. Really? Okay, well, you know what? Slavery itself was a long time ago. Why don't y'all get over that? Marinate on that a bit while we pick this up on the next donation. Straight up nuttier than a jar of Skippy.
The new bill restores America's basic bargain of providing opportunity and demanding in return responsibility. This bill will help people to go to work so they can stop drawing a welfare check and start drawing a paycheck. Why should an able-bodied person receiving welfare benefits not be required to work? I believe it's an important change. Yes, people ought to work. Hard-working American citizens should not be required to carry people. I introduced a concept of workfare in 1986. I remember being pilloried by my colleagues on the Democratic side at the time for suggesting that there be mandatory work requirement for anyone receiving welfare.
I was not a huge supporter of the federal plan that was signed in 1996.
I would not probably have supported the federal bill that was passed.
Administration flatly offered to issue waivers to the work requirements in the law.
On this September 7, 2012. So it was a long convention season. Normally these things go 4 days, but for some odd reason these past 2 weeks just seem like forever, and I'm glad that they're over. So the onslaught will begin. Political ads will be everywhere. You'll all be sick of them. Everybody's going to be angry with them, but don't fret, it's only 2 months worth. Just September, October, and it's over. That's it. Literally, 60 days. That's it. Over and done with. Now, the one thing that I am expecting is the October surprise. And trust me, there will be one. There is one every election season. The October surprise. Now, there wasn't much of an October surprise back in 2008. Although there was talk of one. I don't know if any one of you remember what that October surprise was, but I do believe that there was supposed to be the Michelle Obama tape that was supposed to come out where they called it the Michelle Obama Whitey tape. and there were rumors that Michelle Obama was on this videotape talking to a school, a radical school or whatever it was, and she was out calling, you know, well, pretty much calling people whitey, honky. You know, it was some angry black woman thing that she was giving in college at Princeton University. There was also talk that her dissertation was going to be released, which indeed it was, where she was talking about, you know, racism, classism, racism amongst black people, which was very popular during her time that she was going to school. I don't want to suggest that she used this term, but let's just say she was alluding to the brown paper bag test, so to speak. That's what it was that she was talking about. You're trying to show me something that Julie.
Yeah, Julie. Sorry, Julie. I was at the grocery store. I hadn't even made it home from work yet. So that's why when I said what, Julie had sent me a message on Facebook. People need to light up their ass so they can see their heads are so far up it. And of course, I replied to her, what? I'm like, excuse me? And she's like, so I guess referring to the stupid asses that you were playing on the radio, something about.
Yes, the audio that we were playing where these Democrat delegates at the DNC were talking about freedom of choice. And yet they didn't want choice for anything else. But I'll play the audio for you again later. So it's going to be a big deal. Look, the bottom line is this. I don't know what this October surprise is going to be. I expect there to be one. Now, they're alluding to the fact that the hackers who got Mitt Romney's tax returns the darn company will come to me, that there are hackers who got a hold of his tax returns. Whether or not they're released, I don't know. We'll find out. But we've got at least a month until that happens. I'm expecting something to happen roughly before then, maybe even after a debate, which incidentally starts, you know, during my court date. But anyway, we've got some people on the phone. We might as well get them in here. Mike and Dennis are here with us.
Devil Mike.
Devil. Devil Mike. Are you calling him Devil Mike now, JC? JC?
Yeah, Medieval Mike.
Medieval. Okay, you're calling him Medieval Mike. Gosh, I kind of like that. Mike and Dennis, you're on with Reason Radio. What's up, guys?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry, man. What I got to say is going to take a while, so if you got something short, go ahead, Dennis.
Okay, go, Dennis.
Well, what I have to say is earth-shattering, for one thing, and we got a message for Reese from Justin saying that Obama was God and we have to bow down just about, because he hopes you are reading this.
He is black Jesus, according to Justin. He's going to save the future. Just give him 4 more years.
Yes.
But I've got something to tell you, which is earth-shattering. You heard it from here first. Obama is going to win re-election.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
You think
so? And the reason why is something that's very little known, according to Dr. Michael Savage. You said this earlier. I guess Obama signed some sort of order passing on the reporting of the votes to a Spanish firm, blind owned by George Soros. Remember what Stalin said, it doesn't matter who wins the votes, it's who counts the votes.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you, the only reason that I don't believe Obama's going to get reelected, and this is from Alex Jones, it's from Alex Jones tinfoil hat stuff,
yes,
is in 2008 when they held, have you ever heard of the Bilderberg Group?
Yeah.
Okay, Bilderberg holds a meeting every few years, and
yep,
all the big wigs go to it. I mean, we're talking, you know, captain of industry, Bill Gates, political people, generals, you name it.
Yeah, I reported on it last year.
In 2008, they snuck Barack Obama into it, and John McCain didn't go, and Barack Obama won the election. Well, Bilderberg happened in Virginia this year, and Mitt Romney went. So
really?
My thinking is Mitt Romney is going to win because he went to Bilderberg.
But the thinking from the Savage Show was that it was a they had a test run of this with the re-election, supposedly, of Harry Reid 2 years ago. I mean, who knows? I mean, I'm just passing it on for what it's worth. I'm not saying one or the other, but nothing would
get me out. Help me out.
It wouldn't be past me, you know.
Help me out with this, because when I first heard about the Bilderberg Group, I heard about them. I want to say maybe when I was in high school, maybe
when you
later.
Were a Negro.
Yeah, back when they didn't exist, right? When the, before
exactly.
the internet, when mainstream media told you they were fallacy.
They were the biggest, like you know, spook group, if you will, out there.
But you only heard from them from Lyndon LaRouche, so we discounted it all.
Right, exactly. So, but then I started seeing, you know, when media sort of expanded into, of course, the World Wide Web, and I started reading more stories about this, and I didn't go to your typical places where, you know, conspiracy theories were. When I actually started seeing this actual footage of these captains of industry showing up there, and really, really big names. In fact, I've got photos from the last one that posted them on my website. And I kept saying to myself, why is no one reporting about this meeting? I guess because it's impossible to get into, but it's clearly easy to get. In fact, Alex Jones is where I got the photos from.
Yeah, Alex Jones is the man. I mean, the only thing that tanks Alex Jones, he gets a little bit crazy on his show and he starts ranting. But like 80% of what he says is the truth. You know, the guy is the real deal.
Wait a minute. Wasn't Alex Jones also the guy who said that he had the first ever Amaro?
No, that was Hal Turner.
Oh, okay. All right.
The FBI informant white supremacist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he ended up being a white supremacist FBI informant, and he went to jail, and he's out of jail now, but he has no web presence or whatever because they cracked down on him.
Oh, okay. All right, so when I first saw this Bilderberg group, and I started seeing the names of the people who were there, and at first it didn't strike me as all that odd, but then I started finding out some of the groups that were there were actually involved in media.
Well, of course. I mean, there's a reason they call it television programming. Okay?
Well, yeah.
TV is not for real. You know, the television in your living room is the greatest tool for propaganda and brainwashing that's ever been invented.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, I'll agree with that.
So it's the greatest tool for societal change and for altering the way people think has ever been invented in the history of the world.
Well, okay, I'm 100% in agreement with you there, because I believe I got a lot of my honest to God, even though I watched a lot of television, I believe I still got most of my conservative leanings from television, but only because of what was considered in my day core family values, which
I didn't know you liked Leave It to Beaver.
I live in a small southern town, a small town in quasi-agrarian central Florida. And 3 years ago, when the Jersey Shore hit the air, or whenever it was, 3-4 years ago, with Snooki and all those people.
Yeah, in fact, it's a little longer than that. It's only 6 seasons.
6 years. I saw teenage girls in my little redneck town walking around with the Snooki hairstyle.
Buddy.
Okay. Yeah.
People who have no connection to the Jersey Shore, who aren't Italian, who are walking around with the poof. So TV is it. But what I really have in my mind is you mentioned Libya in
right.
your monologue. Okay.
Sure.
And now I'm of the opinion that the greatest invention in the last 100 years is the internet. The internet is the modern-day equivalent of the library at Alexandria, Egypt, that was lost, where we lost all the information. If you
right.
have a computer or an iPhone or a tablet, you have access to all information in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are two phrases people need to Google, and they're very simple, and you can find them from your living room. Number one phrase is Saddam Hussein Euro, you know, the European currency of the EU.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is Muammar Gaddafi gold dinar. If you Google gold dinar, D-I-N-A-R, if you Google those two terms, you will understand why we went to war in Iraq and why Muammar Gaddafi had to go. In 2000, the Saddam Hussein Google will bring you to an article on Time.com, not exactly a conspiracy theory website, okay? What that will tell you is in the year 2000, Saddam Hussein decided to sell his oil exclusively in the euro currency.
Right.
Now, why this is important is the reason the dollar has not collapsed is because the dollar is a universal currency for exchange of oil.
Absolutely.
You know, our dollar is a petrodollar. And when Saddam Hussein decided that he was going to take all his production and sell it in euros, that meant that for us to buy Iraqi oil, we would have to trade our fairly useless dollar in on euros.
And which is almost double the price.
And we can't do that because that's economic disaster.
Well,
now,
in other words, we paid almost double the price for our oil.
Almost double the price.
Right.
And now with Gaddafi, Gaddafi had a plan for the gold dinar. Gaddafi wanted to establish a currency for North Africa and all of Africa that was based on gold. And Gaddafi produced a lot of oil. So if Gaddafi had done that and decided that he was going to have his own oil bourse and sell his oil directly in gold dinar, which was based on gold, we would lose our assets again and trading our dollars in for gold dinar. So Gaddafi had to go. None of these wars are for the noble purposes that the media has told us. They're all to prop up our dollar. And it amazes me that everybody has a computer, everybody has access to Google. You can find this stuff out, but nobody does.
Well, here's the interesting part, Mike.
Not left or right.
Well, see, the part about Saddam Hussein, I was 100%, I mean, I knew that right off the bat, that was the case. Here's my one screaming piece of evidence about Saddam Hussein. And this is what I find extremely odd, and no one even bothered to mention this. Do you remember what all the critics said about the war in Iraq? Oh, we're only going there for oil. Oh, we're only going there for oil. That's all we're going over there for is oil. The part that made that absolutely asinine was this. At the start of the war in 2003 in Iraq, May of 2003, we were collecting 699 barrels a day from Iraq.
By 699,000 barrels a day.
No, my friend, no. 699 barrels a day.
Well, that's nothing. That's a South Louisiana oil field.
Exactly. Again, what were we collecting by 2009, 6 years later? By the end of the year, the 2010 Almanac had us at 439 barrels a day.
You know, it's not about the oil. It's about stabilizing our currency.
That's all it's
and
ever.
It bothers me that the American people are so stupid, and I love my country, but Americans are so dumb that they can't sit down on their computer and take 5 minutes between reruns of Dancing with the Stars and Real Housewives of New Jersey to learn a goddamn thing.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. The funniest thing is I said, here it is. We live in the information society, and we have some of the most uninformed people in the world.
I mean, look, man, I have a high school education. I never went to college. Like, you went to what, Fordham?
No. I went nowhere.
Okay.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Is this a revelation? I thought a couple of years ago you had under another name.
That's what I got in trouble for an old bio when I was on Hot 97. I'm a high school dropout.
But, you know, you can learn anything. I mean, the information is there. It's for the taking currently.
No,
They're planning Internet 2. Have you heard about the story about Internet 2, Internet 2.0?
Yes.
That all the cable companies and media are pushing. They want you to actually have to, like, log in to your personal Internet account so they know who you are, and they want to eliminate anonymity, and they want to control the Internet. The reason they want to control the Internet is because there is too much information available to the average person right now.
You know,
and an informed populace is a dangerous populace.
Of course it is. But you can't pull the wool over their eyes if they're informed. Everything you do, you know what I find amazing and what most people are realizing now is that we live in a society today, and I thank guys like Matt Drudge in particular for this, is that we live in a society now where nothing is secret and nothing is a surprise. But you know what? I don't want surprises and secrets anymore in a lot of ways. I mean, I don't
think our national
security...
That's why I'm not 100% against, you know, Julian Assange, because I want to know. I want to know what's going on. You know, if our helicopters are killing civilians in Toyotas, and I'm being told we're only killing the bad guys, I want to know so I can make up my own mind what's going on.
I agree with you wholeheartedly there, but I think Julian Assange in his particular case was, and I understand why you say you're only partially supporting of him, is because there are some things that he did that were extremely reckless, you know, as far as giving out information. If he had been a whistleblower in the sense of, hey, look, the American people need to know that their government is not being straight with them and this is what's really going on, then I totally applaud that as far as being a whistleblower, that you're going to know and expose them no matter who they are, left or right of the spectrum. You expose them for what it is that they are. But if you are out there and you're just exposing every little secret, like some of that stuff that was exposed about Hillary Clinton and I think it was India that she had, there was some beef going on with India. It was Pakistan. I apologize. Some of the emails between, India, Pakistan, and the United States, and where she was kind of playing both sides of the fence, had got out. It didn't get a lot of attention, but she was kind of embarrassed by it. That kind of stuff, I don't really want leaked. Because,
if you look back at the first Gulf War between, you know, when Saddam supposedly invaded Kuwait for no reason, if you dig into that, you will find out that there are stories out there that our ambassador met with Saddam and supposedly told him, go ahead and invade. His reasoning for invading Kuwait is because the Kuwaitis were slant drilling into his oil fields.
How can
under the border.
Oh, under the border.
Under the border. I mean, slant drilling is a possibility. You know, modern oil technology, you don't have to drill straight down. You can drill on an angle.
Exactly. I mean,
the Chinese are doing it to us right now from Cuba.
So if the Kuwaitis were stealing his oil and we told him, dude, go ahead and invade Kuwait, that's a good reason for us to go to war with this guy. But our wars, we haven't fought a war that was on legitimate purposes since Korea.
You're not even counting Vietnam?
No, Vietnam, if you look into Vietnam, Vietnam may have been started under false pretenses. If you look at the Gulf of Tonkin incident,
right?
There's every possibility Gulf of Tonkin was a false flag operation, and we were just set up to go to war.
It's so funny because when you regardless of how many people, now I shouldn't say regardless, I apologize for saying that, considering how many people were killed in Vietnam as far as American troops are concerned, what I've always found odd, those 16,000 deaths, what I've always found odd about that is that when you ask most professionals about Vietnam, it's always referred to as a police action.
I think it was like 50,000 in Vietnam.
We lost a lot of troops. Wait, you're absolutely right. I'm sorry. It's 60,000 Vietnam, it's 37,000 Korea.
And for what? What do we accomplish in Vietnam? They're a capitalist power now.
I look at South Vietnam, and I'm sorry, I do not see a country that has left the 19th, if not 18th century.
You know, well, Vietnam is becoming an industrial powerhouse. You know, they eventually became capitalist.
North Vietnam or South Vietnam?
There's only Vietnam now. They're unified.
Well, I'm saying the Northern Territory.
Well, it's only one country now.
We're
disingenuous in where we apply our military force because remember a little country called, Rwanda?
Yeah.
How many hundreds of thousands of people were hacked to death with machetes in Rwanda?
Oh, countless.
And did we go in there? No. Do we care that Saudi Arabia oppresses women and stones gay guys to death? They're our ally.
Consider Rwanda for several reasons. consider Rwanda for several reasons. We're talking about a Rwanda and a government under Bill Clinton that had no intentions of going to Rwanda.
Because why? Because there's no payoff for us.
No. That's not why. No. Everybody always says there's no payoff in Rwanda. No. The reason why is because the people in Rwanda were brutally gotten their ass whipped. That's what Clinton was worried about, is that the people there were so savage that pulling those people out there, remember, when you know the theme of Black Hawk Down was, look at the way that the troops had to deal with the rebels who were there. Bill Clinton didn't want to go into that bloodbath like that. He did not want to see his troops being killed and be responsible for a war that he felt like his guys couldn't win. And another big problem with Bill Clinton was there had not been any war overseas since the Vietnam War. And you can say what you want about the Gulf War. It was 44 freaking days. That damn thing lasted a month. Okay? It had never been major conflict seen that he knew was going to be seen in Rwanda, and he couldn't risk it. He could not have a people be against its government when they went to war. Not only that, remember, we're dealing with a liberal president where everybody had started to become PC and the pussy factor started to jump into everybody's lives during that time. There were more punks going out there. And not only that, let's also consider the fact that Bill Clinton was he was a draft dodger, whether you like it or not.
Of course he was. But he did get us involved in that nightmare in, Bosnia?
How could you... You know what that was? You know what's my favorite part about talking about Bosnia? Did you ever see that movie Wag the Dog?
Yeah, I did, with De Niro.
Okay. Right. My favorite part about Wag the Dog and why that movie is so Clinton-esque is when Dustin Hoffman has to film that scene that they're going to show that's going to cause people to go to war with Armenia, and he has that little girl with the cat who's walking through a war-torn country and all the bombs are going off around her. That's exactly what happened in Bosnia. They were showing that footage of little girls and little kids, little Muslim girls walking around with little cats in their stuffed animals, trying to get out of this war-torn situation, and he was forced to act. Because the rest of the country was sitting there going, we can't let these people get murdered and slaughtered like that.
Well, you remember the little girl who spoke in front of the UN in the first Gulf War, where she said she was Kuwaiti, and these horrible Iraqi troops came in and took babies out of incubators and smashed them on the ground? It turned out to be total lie.
Complete.
It never happened. But the media sold us this propaganda. It's just like, who's it? Who was the girl, the U.S. soldier who supposedly went down in the blaze of glory, that Jessica Lynch? Remember her?
Yeah.
We were told that, she was this G.I. Jane who emptied her M16 fighting off the Iraqis and they took her. It turns out that was a total lie.
Turns out she just tripped and falled like every blonde in a Jason Voorhees movie.
And to get even better, when she was held by the Iraqis, they put her up in the best medical care they had available. They put her in a friggin' burn bed.
I know someone who was a radio man in the Navy. Excuse me. And he says something which is shocking but isn't at the same time. It's something we should have expected. He said what used to come in, radio traffic on his unit, was completely, totally at odds with the same story going across the major media.
You know what?
When Lynch was in Iraq, the story goes that they gave us this propaganda that she was this war hero and that our SEALs showed up and stole her from an Iraqi hospital. When what really happened is the goddamn Iraqis called us and said, hey, come get this girl. We have her.
You want to
They invited the SEALs in to take her. People need to be sold a good story.
I used to get a news feed. When I first started at Hot 97 in New York, we used to get this fact on our fax machine every day when I walk in. There'd be a stack of papers inside the fax machine. Now, the job is, when I was interning there, this is before I even got on the air, I was literally pretty much the gopher. I got all the news. I gathered all the news. I got the donuts. I got the coffee. You know, I made sure that the guests had water and were comfortable. I did all of that, and I answered phones. It had to be no more than 4 or 5 months I was there before I got on the air. We used to get this news feed that would come in and that we paid for. We got it every day. The station paid for it. So one day I'm going over a news story that comes over on the news feed, and I read it. Now, I know the story backwards and forwards, but the news feed that they're giving me is a completely different story. The facts are wrong. The timeline is wrong. The places are wrong. The people and the information are abundantly wrong. So I look at the host of the show, Star, and I go to him. I say, Star, we got a news feed that tells this story, but I don't understand if this is right or they're trying to pull a fast one on us. He said, what do you mean? So I showed him the story that our news feed that we paid for gave us. And I handed him the actual story that I got off the AP press wire. Then I showed him the story that was on the Tampa press wire. And showed him the AP story and the Tampa press wire were exactly the same, but the feed that they were giving us from the radio wire was completely bogus. So we had a meeting the next day. And I say to the program director, hey, listen, I've noticed that we're getting these news wires that are really, really botching up the story. Star's going to get on my case if I give him a story that's got the news wrong and everybody else. And she looks at me right in my face and she says, always take the news wire story.
Of course. Of course.
And I lost my mind. And again, don't get me wrong. I told you guys this story before. When Bill Clinton was going to get his presidential library, and I was talking about him on the air, and I had mentioned in the article that even Monica Lewinsky was going to appear in the library as a part of his history, and I was literally sat down by the bigwigs of Clear Channel and told, do not disrespect President Clinton on the airwaves again because of the things that he's done for Clear Channel. Complete censorship.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, corporate media is a nightmare. Remember what they did to the Dixie Chicks? You know,
yeah.
The Dixie Chicks were, at the time, the largest act in country music. Sold millions of records. And
the business is not news anymore. It's entertainment. That line was crossed a long time ago, and you have people who go in and out of politics and entertainment. You got Sarah Palin as a commentator. You got Huckabee strumming his guitar. You know, and I like these people, but there's a limit. There's a line that's been crossed. It's all about entertainment.
Right.
It's all about the numbers. If you don't have the numbers in Arbitron, you ain't going anywhere. And you know this, Reese.
Oh, hey, you know I know it. We'll take a break. We're going to be back. Let's do the top of the hour. We'll be right back.
College graduates should not have to live out their 20s in their childhood bedrooms, staring up at fading Obama posters and wondering when they can move out and get going with life.
On the radio, and we are live just 4 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. It is September the 7th, 2012. I got plenty of other stuff that I have to get into today. I promised myself that I wasn't going to get into our little discussion today. So, unemployment rate.
What discussion?
Never mind. We're going to other places. Unemployment down to 8.1%, even though over 395,000 people have jumped out of the workforce. 96,000 jobs were added onto the rolls. 368,000 people have dropped out. And now they are saying, now see, this number to me is astronomical. 88,921,000 people are not in the labor force. Now, it's only right. It is only right that I go to one of our resident Obama supporters who hasn't called in a while, Mr. Derek the Bounty Hunter. Where you been? Hello? Is he not there?
Or Derek, did I know? You're on the air.
Okay, maybe he's not there. I don't know what happened to him. We're being lost.
Maybe he had another call.
He may have had another call. He is out patrolling the streets of Florida trying to make them safe. Now, I got to mention this because both of these stories are... they're both hilarious. Madonna is telling everyone that she supports Barack Obama, and of course, Snoop Dogg is also backing Barack Obama. So I'd like to go over the fine list of political hacks who are now supporting President Obama in the new election. I mean, in the coming election. So we got Kerry Washington, probably most political role that she's ever played. She plays in a TV show called Scandal, where she helps politicians get out of scandals in Washington. Okay, Scarlett Johansson. Let me see. A political background. I believe that she worked in her first film with Robert Redford in The Horse Whisperer. she also played an assistant to Tony Stark in Iron Man 2. I don't think there's any political films in her background either. Okay, fine. Eva Longoria. Let me see. Soap opera actress. Turn scamp on Desperate Housewives who sleeps with underage gardeners.
Love it.
Let me see, political. Nope, nothing. Got nothing. Oh, and Latino. So I guess that just makes you political.
Well, Latina.
Yeah, Latina, Latino, who cares? That automatically makes you political. Let me see, who else do we got here?
Mary J. Blige.
Oh, Mary J. Blige. That's right. That's right. Don't need no hateration. Weed smoking, coke sniffing, R&B singer,
fried chicken eating,
fried chicken loving from Burger King,
and very illiterate.
Oh yes, and illiterate. Just got her high school diploma. That's right.
Listen, Jay-Z
listen.
And Beyonce.
No. Let's stick to Mary J. Blige for a moment.
He wants to stay on Mary J.
when Michelle Obama gave her speech, Mary J. tweeted, "I love that sister, Michael Obama."
No.
No, she didn't.
No.
Yeah, she did.
"I love that sister, Michael Obama."
Michael Obama.
She is illiterate.
Why don't her handlers keep her with my damn phone?
No, I know.
This is for an old push-button flip phone.
Old crispy chicken pathetic knew exactly what she was doing.
Michael Obama.
That's what she looks like, Michael Obama.
Okay, so Jay-Z and Beyonce. Jay-Z, former crack dealer, turned rapper, basketball owner, political leanings. None. I have no political background I could think of. Beyonce sounds like she's deaf in one ear when she speaks.
And another illiterate.
Another illiterate, also right, very much so.
Used to rock and whore.
Yeah. Nope, can't see it. Also supports the president. Who else we got now?
We got Puffy.
Puffy, of course, Puffy. Uh-huh.
We've got Run's brother. What's his name?
Oh, Russell Simmons. Former cokehead as well. Everyone he endorses loses.
Okay.
You think I'm kidding? Carl McCall, Hillary Clinton, because everybody keeps forgetting. He supported Hillary during the 2008 elections. Everyone he endorses, they lose. So if Russell Simmons is endorsing you, pack it up.
Let's forget about the biggest of them all, the narrator of that beautiful intro story to Barack's entrance last night.
Oh, George Clooney. That's right. the facts of life are all about you.
Did anybody? I hope you all realize that that was George Clooney narrating that story.
Yes, that opening story. Yes, it was. That was George Clooney. He's always going to be involved there. Nobody he supports ever gets elected either.
He hasn't done a damn good job in any kind of acting since Facts of Life. Move on.
Exactly. And I loved him when he had the feathered hair. I thought he was really going to hook up with Joe. I really did.
You've got, what's his name that's coming out with his a new talk show?
Oh, Steve Hardley?
Steve
Hardley,
Ruckus.
Funny?
Steve has come out and gave him his own talk show in the morning.
Dude, I don't know what the heck that's all about.
I don't know either.
I think I might watch it once. But no, this is the biggest story. This is the biggest story.
What's the biggest story?
This is the biggest story. You didn't hear about this guy supporting him?
Who?
Snoop Diggity Dogg.
Well, you know, first of all, his name isn't Snoop Dogg anymore.
Well, now he's just calling himself Snoop. But yes, Snoop Diggity Dig Dogg. He is now endorsing.
No, he's not calling himself Snoop. He's called what? He has a new name.
Snoop
now.
Lion. That's right.
Snoop Lion.
Yes, he's now endorsing him as well. Look, I find each and every one of these people pathetic, as I said before. Let's get the guys back in and let's find out if Derek has joined us again. Derek!
Hey, what's up? It was about time I got somebody college educated on your show, somebody who owns 175,000 Iraqi dinars on the show, you know? What's going on? By the way, the reason why, a major part of the reason why people consider Reagan and Clinton some of the best presidents that ever went down, they never got us involved in any major wars so we could spend our money on rebuilding America. You know what I'm saying? These other jokers, these Bush characters, got us involved in these wars and then screwed the country up, man. By the way,
speaking of Reagan, I never heard Ronald Reagan, the sainted Ronald Reagan, ever blame Jimmy Carter for any of the problems he had.
What war did Reagan get us in? None.
I don't think Grenada. Well, the Cold War.
What the hell was that, man? Come on.
That was a
sneeze. Like when they invaded my country, man. Come on, man. Give me a break. That ain't no real war.
The projected amount.
Tell us to the guys that got killed.
You guys keep talking about sending people into war. I have family members that have done 5 tours over here.
Don't get me wrong. I supported
Grenada. We got so many soldiers committing suicide. Come on, man. Enough is enough now.
We've been in a state of perpetual war practically since our nation has been a nation.
Reagan and Clinton was there, we weren't in any real wars. That's why America was able to spend money on America.
Clinton got us into both the Bosnian conflict and Somalia.
Oh, Jesus, Bosnia? Come on, man. We're to stop them Christians from killing the Muslims. You know what I'm saying? And all those damn rape rooms. And you know what I'm saying? All that ethnic cleansing. All right?
If somebody gets killed, no matter how small the conflict, it's a war to the family.
The reason why, first of all, if you consider Bosnia, right? If you consider Bosnia, the reason why that cost us nothing was because of the advent of NATO. Everybody remember that?
Yep.
Yeah.
The advent of NATO, which of course...
I like the advent of NATO. Into we're talking about Rwanda again, right? The advent of NATO. NATO really pussied out in that one.
Well, what do you think NATO was? Whether you like it or not, NATO is the United States. It's nothing without it.
Very true.
NATO
has no real power, man.
What's that?
NATO has no real power.
Who, NATO doesn't have any real power? Of course it has no real power unless it has the backing of the United States.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether you like it or not, NATO is the United States. It's almost like doing this. I consider NATO sort of like sending... Your homeboy's out to fight your battle.
Interesting you should say that, Reese, because Marco Rubio wanted Ukraine to be part of NATO. What in hell are we going to do in Russia's backyard to defend Ukraine? The hell was the matter with him?
Well, there's
only
so
hold
much
on,
you
man.
Can do. Well,
but NATO got
first
fucked,
of all,
but Ukraine, yeah, go ahead.
We dodged, listen, I'll tell you this, Obama dodged a bullet, and I say a real big bullet. When Russia started invading Georgia, he dodged a huge bullet. Because he avoided that like the plague. He wanted no part of it. And the scariest part about that was he wasn't even dealing with Putin in essence as a president of Russia at the time. Although Putin was pulling the strings, he was still dealing with Medvedev. And he could at least reason with Medvedev, but you know Medvedev, his marching orders were from Putin. He was a puppet. You know, no kidding, Medvedev was a puppet. But the bottom line was that all Putin had to do was tell Medvedev, stop taking Obama's phone calls and go get Georgia. Go get me Georgia. And that would have been a wrap.
I wonder what we should do about Poland. Now, clearly, Poland is in the Russian sphere as influence over history.
But on the other hand, Mike, you have tight ties
with Poland.
You've heard what President Obama wants to do in Poland, what he wants to do in East Germany. He wants to eliminate any defense missiles in those regions. He doesn't want any of those places protected anymore. And just like he got caught on a microphone saying, you know, after the election, I'll have some more flexibility. Because he wants to reduce our nuclear armament across the globe. Not just here. He wants to reduce it to at least 1,500 in the United States. So that Russia will have the same amount we do, if not less.
You don't think Germany is going to stand by and let this crap happen?
Yeah, I mean,
we're not going to let it happen.
The Germans are more than capable of raising a substantial standing army.
Oh, yeah.
We don't need them to have an army. I don't see why we have troops over there at all.
The Japanese and Germany don't need to have an army, man. I'm serious, man. Those people will be back into some crazy nonsense when
they get
them.
I think, honestly, when we're looking at a $16 trillion deficit and fully one-third of our expenditures are on the military, I think it's time for some two countries with robust economies to take care of themselves.
But there's only so many countries you can have protected under the nuclear umbrella.
Dude, you give them militaries, they're going to start the nonsense again, man. Some countries you can't give militaries to. Japan and Germany, don't give it to them. The most
warmongering country on the planet Earth is our country. Okay.
Our army is 17 times bigger than the number two army next to us. That's why we don't need the Germans and Japanese and the British take care of themselves.
Well, that's bad news.
They all have better economies than we do.
Dude, they don't have a military. Yeah, because they don't have a military. Military chews up a lot of money, y'all.
The Germans and the Japanese all have military. They just benefit from us being there. Were we not there, the Germans and Japanese would ramp up their military development astronomically.
And they'd be about all that crazy nonsense again. You can't give those people militaries, man. I'm telling you, man.
We do not need the permission of the United States
to have a military in Germany.
Exactly.
You know what I
mean? And the Germans are good at that. And what are they going to invade the Soviets?
Yeah, well, believe it. The only military, they're going to invade the Russians.
Guys, the only military I'm concerned about is Chinese. The only military I care about.
Yeah, but China has an issue, man. Their people want democracy, man. So, you know, that communism isn't working out. It's getting to be like animal farm.
Well, the Chinese have what's called pink communism. They have the illusion of capitalism where they get to have a little bit of something, but they have no freedom whatsoever.
But that's what I'm saying.
No. The only reason why China will never, ever attack the United States is because they need that export. They need that import-export with the United States.
They don't have to.
They own the country.
How do you pacify 1.3 billion people if you don't let them make money, man?
Because the Chinese don't care if they kill them. That's the thing.
But you don't understand. There's an eventual revolution that's going to go down in China over that one-child policy. I'm serious, man. They'll kill them.
It's funny you said that about killing Tiananmen Square.
Hold on. Wait. Derek, you're missing one thing. Tiananmen Square was the quintessential uprising in China. There has never been anything like it in the history of China comparatively. And you know what they got? They got pink communism, which in essence said, will let you make a little bit more money, but you're still
they
undercover.
They have to, dude. You have to. Do you understand? There's going to be a problem in China shortly. I mean, shortly there's going to be about 40 million men that they have no women for. Dude, y'all are worried about damn Saddam's millionaire army. Talk about 40 million men that can't get none because there ain't none. Man, that's a revolution coming at you, man.
Derek.
And they'll crush them.
Listen, if you believe post-Tiananmen Square, right? Post-Tiananmen Square, where there are hundreds of thousands of people in China today who are flocking to one organization to go work for $17 a month, is it?
I think $17 a week.
Sorry, $17 a week, the Apple Corporation at Foxconn, right? The people,
yeah.
Hundreds of thousands are rushing to go make $17 a week, okay? A week. At Foxconn for the Apple at the Apple plant in China. If you believe that country, as far as I'm concerned, that country went from being ruled by a tank to being ruled by a ramrod. That's all it is. It's literally, they've still given them nothing. In essence, it was almost like saying, look, we're going to give you an opportunity to make a little bit of money. So instead of a quarter, we're going to give you 35 cents. And that's what they feel, as though they've made some sort of accomplishment. China is in no way a better country post-Tiananmen Square.
Do you know what happened when they built the Three Gorges Dam project in China? When they built the Three Gorges Dam, which is their new hydroelectric dam to bring power to the country, they moved forcibly hundreds of thousands of people from land they've been on for generations. The Chinese just said, sorry, you got to leave. And they moved it. You couldn't do that in a free country.
Dude, like I said, man, and you know, you're sitting over here saying the Chinese ain't making no money. That's where we're selling most of our cars nowadays.
No,
man.
You're wrong.
And they're laughing at us.
No,
I know people
in
China
who are
members of the Communist Party.
You're not making any money, Derek. They're manipulating their currency. They can have as much money as they want any time they want.
Manipulating is absolutely right.
Yeah, the yuan is artificially kept at a low standard so they can improve their manufacturing base.
But they're laughing at us. Like I said, I have friends who are members of the party in Shanghai, and they think we're the dumbest bastards ever. They really do.
Mary's showing me an article that says, inside Apple's Chinese sweatshop, factory where workers are just paid $1.12, and that's a euro, €1 per hour produced iPhones, iPads for West.
The Chinese don't care if people die. I mean, why is this cheap
and less than 85 cents?
Well, did you hear the story about Bill Clinton years ago? He bitched about human rights in China. And they told him, he said, okay, how many do you want? 1, 2, 300 million? We'll give you that. We'll give you every dissident you want. And he couldn't take him. He said, now shut up about it. Because they were ready to unload 200, 300 million of their dissidents.
Okay, and now.
They don't care.
This story shows that it says factories covered in suicide nets to stop workers leaping to their deaths. 18 people have killed themselves at the facility. So, Derek, these people are not going to have any uprising. They're killing themselves. They're not about to be uprising against the government because they know the government is going to kill them.
Eventually, you can't keep that puppet regime, you know, going like that, man. Come on now.
You call that regime a puppet regime? A regime that can tell you that you cannot have a daughter. And there is one. This is what I'm saying. If you really think about it, the population of China completely outnumbers the government in that country. But I want you to take this into consideration, right? The Chinese military is one-third the population of the United States. That's over 115 members. 115 million members.
Easy. Easy.
Okay.
But how much of that population is that? You know, in China, they have 800 million people that are peasant farmers, dude. You have 800 million people that are living like 100 years ago. All right?
And
this is the country that will sell your body off. They will make you a prisoner and sell your organs.
It lives like how we lived in the 50s, dog.
Come on.
They're disposable, man. They don't care. The Chinese
don't
care if people starve to death. They don't care if they slaughter a million people or 2 million people. It's a drop in the bucket.
That's
whatever
the whole point of having the one-child policy. If they have the one-child policy, they don't care about killing anyone else. It helps them have a smaller population.
They're going
to
maintain the status quo. Those people are never going to revolt. It's not in their nature.
No, exactly. The government may rule with an iron fist, but that country is full of a bunch of docile people, and they will follow their government and do whatever it is they say or face death, and they know it.
I mean, they if you belong to that Falun Gong religious subsect, they'll just round you up and put you in a camp. They don't care about people there. Nobody's
going to
rise.
And they will sell your body
there.
Organs to the highest bidder.
Yeah.
Or they make up a story and kill you and then sell your organs.
They'll give them iPhones and TVs to keep them placated, but those people are never going to have freedom, ever.
Nope.
And you know what? I've never seen a country, as far as China, that is so in bed with this corrupt system of mobsters, gangs, and all. They are literally in bed with them. That's the probably the scariest part about that country, is that the
Well, hold on a second now. So you sit over here and talk about them being scary. Then you're sitting over here talking about, you don't want Russia to have the same, you know, have the same amount of nukes. Russia needs less nukes, man, because, you know, once the Soviet Union collapsed, dude, who's really in charge of those nukes, man? You know what I'm saying? You can't have them with a whole bunch of nukes, man. That way your nukes can end up being on the black market, man.
Russia
yeah, but
has
you're seeing it through American eyes.
And all the former republics have a lot. But I don't think those people want to launch at all. I mean,
Russia's got themselves between a rock and a hard place for one reason. It doesn't matter how tough Putin may appear, but Putin is caught within a rock and a hard place for one reason. One, he cannot afford, although he talks a good game, he cannot afford to get into another Cold War sort of situation with the United States. But there is one thing that keeps him right on the edge, and that is because he has a strong ally in China, believe it or not.
Well, and the Russians produce a ridiculous amount of oil.
Oh,
everybody
yeah.
likes to forget how much oil Russia has.
Oh,
Russia
yeah,
has,
come on. If Alaska has oil, you got to believe Russia got oil.
Only that, they have all of Western Europe in their clutches with Gazprom. The gas pipeline, which we warned them not to do during the past administrations. But they built the pipeline, and now Western Europe is on the Russian tit.
Oh, damn.
I mean, the Russians, according to some things I've read, have as much oil as Saudi Arabia. Russia's problem is they don't have the infrastructure to move it around. But
that's
Russia
correct.
Is, they're not in trouble economically at all.
Well,
hell, they're buying gold all over the place.
Some of the biggest problem with that is if we look at countries like Iran, and Iran can produce their own oil. But, you know, they have an ally with Russia and China as well. Where does Iran go to get their oil refined? Because they don't have any refineries.
No, they have no refineries.
They're
going to go to Russia.
They go to Russia.
I thought they had just one small refinery.
Their refineries can't sustain them, though.
You know, Russia is the largest producer and exporter of oil in the world. They have 10.5 billion barrels a day worth of production.
Speaking of imports and exports, don't forget China has the monopoly on special rare earths that America needs. They've got us over a barrel.
Well, and there's a massive lithium deposit in Afghanistan we found to the tune of over $1 trillion.
And perhaps that's why we're saying.
And was it Peru or one of them countries? Where's the Nazca lines at, man? They got a whole bunch of lithium over there too. So, it is what it is.
Well, I don't expect it anytime soon under this administration for there to be any hard line, to be honest with you. And I'll be honest, I'll even go so far as to say this. You know, if there's going to be a challenge, if indeed Romney were to win, if there's going to be a challenge for this administration, it's going to be the way that it deals with Iran, because in essence, they'll be fighting with three countries.
Well, are you familiar at all with how Brazil achieved energy independence?
Sugar cane.
Yeah, Brazil does not import any foreign oil. Brazil, the country whose greatest technological advancement is vagina wax, is now energy independent because they use sugarcane to make ethanol.
Right.
And yet the Obama administration sent money to help develop Brazil's oil structure,
yeah.
Not ours.
And now they don't use just the sugar part of it, which people are confused. They use the biomass part of it. They use the stalks and the leaves, and they make ethanol from that. America could accomplish this. We could have more ethanol production.
Yeah, man, but the sugar lobby doesn't have the same juice as the corn lobby.
No, for some reason we've chosen corn, which is the cornerstone
because
of our...
Come on, now.
What I'm saying is we've chosen corn, which is the most important crop in our country to do ethanol.
Absolutely.
When we could use hemp.
Then again, like I said, the corn lobby has juice, man. The sugar lobby here in America doesn't.
Well, we can't do it with sugar because we've given up all the land we grow sugar on to, you know, the Everglades and residential projects.
That's right.
We could do it with hemp. Hemp produces more biomass than any other plant on the planet, but we won't do it.
If we had a sustainable hemp crop, we
could make hemp ethanol and cut off a lot of our imports, but we won't do it.
Hold on. Go ahead, Mary.
Okay, so when we first started the show, I read a story about this.
Mm-hmm.
And the government was enforcing that the oil companies or the gas companies, whomever, was making a certain amount of ethanol, was producing a certain amount of ethanol for clean energy or alternative energy, and they didn't have the... The government knew that they didn't have the resources to do that, so the government then taxed them and was taxing them $600,000 because they didn't produce what the government told them they needed to produce. Though they had told the government, we don't have the resources to produce this amount. It's illogical. We cannot do this.
Yeah, they're charging them for product, for production, for something that cannot be produced.
For an amount.
Yeah,
they could produce a certain amount, but this astronomical amount was just unattainable.
It was a certain ingredient that has never, ever been discovered and never, ever used. You can't find it. You can't make it, but you're being charged for something that cannot be produced through ethanol.
But it's because we choose the wrong crop to produce our ethanol with.
And you believe hemp is the answer there?
Hemp is the answer. I sent you a link to the
I read it.
And hemp has more biomass than any other plant on the planet, and it renews itself faster than other plants, but we won't do it. If we grew hemp just to create biomass for ethanol, we could eliminate our dependency on foreign oil. But we won't. Why?
Does that mean that you can turn this hemp into airline fuel and make the planes go higher?
Absolutely. Hemp, forget the marijuana part of it. But hemp is a superior product, and nobody will use it. And I don't understand why, except that it's powerful lobbies.
There is a lobby against it. All right, folks, it's 33 minutes after the hour. You know what time it is.
Uh-oh, don't tell me that time again.
When your sign across the line, it's jigaboo time. It's jigaboo time. It's jigaboo time. When you're running out of lyrics, it's jigaboo time. It's jigaboo time. It's jigaboo time.
No, when you're rapping for the money,
it's jigaboo time. It's jigaboo time. It's jigaboo time. When you don't have a plan, it's jigaboo time. It's jigaboo time. It's jigaboo time. You're rapping for the white man.
Stories for me today.
I do. I have some murder, death, kills for you, actually.
Oh, wait. Hold on. You've got murder, death, kill? You know, I've got to get the sound effect for murder, death, kill. Hold on. Let me find it. It's my
favorite. That's my favorite thing, man. I love that murder death kill. We have got to get that. Oh man, you should have told me ahead of time. I should have had this audio ready for you. Oh man, this is my favorite thing in the world. Murder death kill. Here we go. There it is.
Murder death kill. Murder death kill. Murder death kill.
What's up with murder death kill?
Okay, I have a few, actually. First one is out of Shreveport, Louisiana, from last week. We have a story. Hang on here. Got something going on. I've got a story about a young man from Shreveport, Louisiana, who was murdered when he interrupted a home invasion robbery. September 5th of this year, young man named Noah Randall, a nice 22-year-old hardworking individual, came into his apartment at 2:15 in the morning, surprised two armed men who were trying to leave with stuff they'd stolen. They shot him and killed him, shot him in the head.
Wow.
Both suspects were described as black males, 5'11 to 6'1, killed him when he ended up stealing his stuff.
Now, wait a minute. How could they be described if the homeowner or the apartment owner was killed? Who described
Two victims said they were confronted by the two men when they were sitting on their patio.
Oh.
They were wearing coverings on their faces, and they had handguns. So, two fine young sons of Barack killed a hardworking young man coming home.
Okay, you got more murder, death, kill?
Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill.
This is from Knoxville, Kentucky. A record driver was trying to tow a man's Lexus. Man named Ron Gandy. Oh, he's not dead. I'm sorry. He's just beaten into hospitalization.
Oh, damn.
He was towing Tycorian Taylor's Lexus. And Tycorian attacked this guy and beat him into hospitalization for trying to jack his Lexus.
His name is Tycorian?
Tycorian Taylor, yep.
Okay, the assailant is Tycorian Taylor?
The assailant is Tycorian Taylor.
Great name.
Oh, I
want
to hear somebody say that with a country accent. Tycorian Taylor.
He beat the record driver into hospitalization for doing his job.
So, okay, he's a record driver. Was that like a tow truck driver?
Record driver, the tow truck driver. Nice white guy.
Ah.
So what was he doing, though? He was towing, Mr. Taylor's vehicle?
Because it was being
repossessed. He was trying to repo Mr. Taylor's vehicle.
That's
yep.
Exactly what it was.
What
yeah.
A repo job.
Yeah. The repo is always a tough job, man. They will flip on you. You know what I find amazing? The repo drivers get their ass whipped, but if you get a ticket, like I never hear about the brownies or the meter maids getting their ass whipped.
No, those,
never.
In Philly. They have a show. It's a reality show. You've never seen it?
No.
Yeah, parking.
Parking Wars.
Parking Wars?
Parking Wars, that's it. And the ones.
And they do it in Philadelphia.
The ones in Philly are the most, like, volatile.
I don't want to see that now. Okay, more murder, death, kill. Come on.
Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill.
This one's out of St. Louis. This one kind of bothered me. There's a young lady named Megan Boken. She was a volleyball star at St. Louis University who came into St. Louis to play a alumni volleyball match. Shot to death while sitting in her Volkswagen outside an apartment by two young Negroes trying to jack her car.
Hey, Negro.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Can you repeat that again, Mike?
Okay.
Yeah.
Young.
Okay.
We have a young lady, a 23-year-old woman named Megan Boken. Beautiful, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, tall, college-educated white woman.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting in her car outside an apartment in St. Louis, two young Negroes show up and try to jack her car and murder her, shoot her in the head.
Damn.
We had two cousins, even.
Okay, wait. Wasn't this like the volleyball? She was a
volleyball
player.
Yeah, she was a
volleyball player. She was going to play a volleyball game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she
was
came out to town to do an alumni volleyball game, and she's murdered in cold blood to her Volkswagen.
I read this story the other night, and I read it to you. Remember?
Oh, I think
the two did. And the two got they were cousins, and they had called. They actually called the girlfriend or something, and was the one of their girlfriends or somebody, and was like, "Oh, we're gonna rob this chick."
That's sad.
So it was like premeditated. Oh, no. They said that they were going into St. Louis to rob somebody. And
I have one more. This is the ultimate in Negro right here. We have six teenagers aged 13 to 14. Who jumped on a 45-year-old white man who was unemployed and was at home taking care of his disabled elderly mother. A guy named Pat Mahaney walks down to his local convenience store to buy himself a 12-pack of beer, and on his way home, he's beaten into hospitalization and severe internal injuries by a group of six young Negroes who said they did it because they were bored and looking for something to do.
Damn.
They just said, epic. We were looking for something to do. We were bored and
we're bored, so we'll beat up this white guy.
That's just awful.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
If that had been six young white guys who jumped on some unemployed black guy with a disabled mom at home and beat him up because they were bored, don't you think that we would have heard about that in the national media?
No. I'm going to go no on this one. Here's why. If the white teens were aged 13 to 14, right, and the man, the black man, was 45 years old, I think they would have been spun a different way. Follow me on this one. They probably would have made this an issue where those young white kids were bored and had nothing to do, right? They would have said that, right? But they would have not have made it a racial issue because they would have deemed that the six white kids wouldn't know what racism was like. They just saw a black guy. They thought he was homeless or maybe he looked scraggly. And they were just messing around with him because they thought it was funny. I don't think they would put any racial
overtones. You're missing the narrative, man. All white people are racist.
No.
Really?
All white people are racist. We're all a bunch of oppressing evil crackers who hate Negroes.
I'm not
shizzle. We hate the nizzle.
Without the nizzle.
We hate the nizzle.
I think we got to charge Reese per laugh here. He gets too much jollies out of the show. Too much entertainment.
And I just wonder when it's going to happen. You know, you said there's 89 million unemployed people in this country.
Every one of them black.
Well, you know, for black people, being unemployed is kind of just like a natural state of affairs. You know, that's just how it is, unfortunately.
As long as they get, one place to go to the toilet. And what was the other thing that Earl Butt said they had?
What did they say? That black people wanted tight punani, loose shoes, and a warm place to shit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Who said that?
Earl Butt, the former Secretary of Agriculture, ex-federal convict, and now deceased. He said there's only three things the black needs. This is a show we can say. He said tight pussy. He said loose shoes and a warm place to shit.
Really? The Secretary of Agriculture said that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's
why he had
to
leave. He wasn't Secretary of Agriculture longer after that.
He said it
on an airline flight.
When was this? Is this we're talking about the
during the Nixon administration?
Yeah.
Whose administration?
Nixon.
Nixon.
He was Nixon's and Ford's.
Oh. Okay, that sounds about right.
But white people, unemployed, idle white people, tend to do stuff like blow up federal buildings.
Yeah, this is true.
You know, Tim McVeigh, you know, he may have been crazy, but that son bitch was industrious.
Yo, listen to me. You want to find, you know what always makes me laugh about that whole Timothy McVeigh thing? Is about the witness's description of the people who left the van. You remember the first report to that?
I do.
The
And you got a lot of noise in the background, dude.
No, that's not me. That's
somebody else.
Yeah, I'm taking care of it
me.
Now. That's not me.
Probably some Negro.
The Arabs.
It was.
The Arabs. The Arabs were immediately. I'll never forget the photos, the sketches that they had of the people who were responsible for the bombing of the Murrow Building in Oklahoma City. And if you remember the first sketch, it was a Muslim guy, fat face, kind of maybe somewhere around 195 pounds, 5'9".
Oh, you mean Jose Padilla?
Was it Jose Padilla?
I think they discounted him because they had him with a pork chop, and it couldn't have been.
Yeah, I'm believing it's Jose Padilla.
Well, Mary liked that one.
Because he fits the description of the guy who was supposedly with McVeigh.
Right. Exactly. He fit the description of the sketch that they had, because I remember everybody thought that this was a form of terrorism by somebody of Arab descent. In fact, everyone who was a witness to the bombing, who was outside of the building, they were all saying, yeah, I saw him. He was by the van. He looked Arab or he looked Middle Eastern. That's what everybody said. But when you saw Timothy McVeigh, I'll never forget my reaction. I was like, that guy don't look Arab at all.
I mean,
or he had a great makeup on.
Jose Padilla could pass for Arab. I mean, Mexicans are pretty close.
Absolutely. Was Padilla Mexican?
Dude, I can't tell Beaners apart. Mexican, Puerto Rican, Colombian, who knows?
Did you say Beaner?
I did say Beaner. Would you prefer a wetback?
No, Beaner's good.
Well, this certainly is the show that breaks down all barriers and links to understanding.
I'll admit,
how about Taco Bender? That's a good one.
Wait. I've never heard the term bent. What did
Beaner.
You say?
Beaner? Like, you know.
Beaner.
Beans.
Oh, like in beans.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do prefer Taco Bender. That one has a little more flavor.
Well, if you're going to call them beaners, you at least say it in Spanish. Frijoles, you know?
Yeah, but I don't think that works.
Frijoledor?
Frijoles.
Frijoledor.
Frijoledor.
Let's take a break. We'll get back more news when we return.
We need a break.
This is Bob. Bob is a normal guy. He has a good job. He works hard to provide for his family. And he tries to keep himself informed on current events. There's just one problem. I don't think President Obama is doing a very good job. Bob is a racist. There's nothing worse than having a racist around saying hateful things. I don't think it's unreasonable for people to have to show ID when they go vote. Whoa, Bob. Slow down with the bigotry for just a minute. People like Bob are still very upset that there's a black man in the White House. As a result, they oppose President Obama's policies. Not because they're bad policies, but because they just don't like black people. How could anyone oppose such great policies? They're awesome and are working super well. But how do I talk about my political beliefs without being a racist? Let's give Bob a few pointers on how not to be racist. Did you know that under President Obama, more people are on food stamps than ever before? Bob, that's racist. Just because something is true doesn't mean that it's not bigoted. But how can something be racist if it's true? That's a racist question. We need to secure our southern border to stem the tide of illegal immigration. Racist! Calling undocumented workers illegal simply because they're here illegally is proof that you hate Mexicans.
My adopted son is Mexican.
Doesn't matter, still racist.
I see.
I like Barack Obama. He's a light-skinned African-American with no Negro dialect.
Now that's racist. Nope, not so fast there, Bob. It's only racist if it's said by someone who doesn't support President Obama and his policies. Susie is a Democrat, so it's okay if she says it.
That doesn't make any sense.
Sure it does. A liberal can't be racist. It's not possible because liberals support the things that are good for the black community.
So a conservative and a liberal can say exactly the same thing, but only the conservative is racist for saying it.
Now you're getting it, Bobby. For example, when a conservative politician says something that's not directly racist, but is construed that way by liberals, he loses his job, like Majority Leader Trent Lott. But when a Democrat in the same position turns out to be a former Klansman, like Majority Leader Robert Byrd, he's a liberal hero!
It's all starting to make sense now, so I can say all sorts of racist stuff as long as I vote for the right people.
Right! So if Susie says,
I am so proud of myself for voting in the first African-American president in 2008.
Her statement has no racial implications whatsoever. But if someone says,
I voted for Barack Obama last time, but I'm thinking about voting for Mitt Romney this year.
That person is totally racist.
Hold on a second. How can someone who voted for Barack Obama the first time be racist just because they don't vote for him this time? They obviously didn't care about his skin color before.
Sometimes people don't realize that they're racist until later.
How can someone become a racist in 4 years?
That's a clown question, bro.
I'm so confused. I don't want to see the country go down the toilet, but I also don't want the people at work to think I'm a racist.
Well, remember, Bob, if the country is ruined, you can always blame it on George W. Bush.
You're right. I'm going to vote for Barack Obama because I'm not a racist.
Way to go, Bobby. Remember, racism in the workplace is never cool.
I'm Barack Obama, and I've never seen this ad. Didn't even know it existed.
Hey, homie.
Look what I got. Just for you, bro.
Fist bump. But the GOP's gonna put you all back.
Listening than actually going on the air. We actually got Columbus, Ohio in the house.
And make sure that you give Brenda a shout out.
Who the hell is that?
Don't say who the hell is that. You know who Brenda is.
I know Brenda. Only one Brenda I know, and that's James. That's James's mom's. I don't know no other Brenda.
Yes,
oh, that broad. Yeah, I know.
Brenda, he's just kidding. Don't even try it.
Now, definitely a shout out to Brenda and Tim.
And Tim.
Much love. And Hunter as well. So 7 minutes to the top of the hour. Okay, you've heard all the stories. We've talked about everything. Something was just popping into my head because I've been thinking about this whole pro-choice thing. And I know this is going to turn into a huge discussion, but I want people to think about this. And I'm hoping that Brenda and Tim are listening to this as well because they're married. So I want them to think of this in at least sort of ponder that, and I'd love to hear your responses to this. You can send me an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com, or of course you can follow us on Facebook at Reese on the Radio or on Twitter at Reese on Radio. I remember back in 2008 when I was doing my show on WRKO in Boston, and I read this article in the Boston Globe about how scientists had found a genome that could possibly link to the discovery of finding out before your child is born whether or not your child will end up being gay. Okay? Now, this is an old article, so you can probably look it up. It was in the Boston Globe. You may have to pay for it if you can't just find it for free. But I'm almost certain of this article because I posed the question on WRKO at the time. And I always wondered about how people thought about creation, but people thought about God and their relationship with God. So the way I set it up on the air was I said, do you believe that God's design is God's design? You have no control over that. You know, that God, if you believe in God, call into the show. And people called in the show, and I said, okay, fine. You believe in God's design. You believe that God, although, you know, makes the decision, it's his design, and you don't believe that you should break that. So everybody, of course, agreed with that. So then I posed the question. So if scientists found that little genome, that little gene, that little splice, to find out that your child was going to be homosexual, and doctors say that they could either fix it or you can have an abortion, what would you do? Right now, you're in a position of choice. You're in a position to make a decision on this whole event. It's almost designer baby-like, if you get my meaning. Scientists know what your baby's going to turn out to be, gay or straight. Would you mess with God's design? Now, I'm going to ask this. I don't know whether or not anybody else is going to jump on this. Ohio, you're on the phone with us now. If you'd like to answer this, please just press 1 on your phone, and I'll know that you want to answer the question. If not, just send your remarks to reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. But I'm going to get the guys in here. Dennis, you're a little older, so I'm sure you're not having any children anytime soon. Mike, you're around my age, so you probably will. Justin is here, so we'll get him on the line. I want to hear from JC and Derek as well. In fact, I want to go to – oh, wow. Okay, there we go. Let's go to our caller in Columbus, Ohio, and see whether or not he wants to answer this question. So you've heard the question. And by the way, can you give your name? Is that all right?
Oh, yeah, this is Hefe. This is Hefe.
I'm sorry, who's this?
This is Hefe. Hefe, what's up, Reed?
Hefe Chulo, what's up for the Real Talk Blancers? Okay. You've got to answer this question. So briefly, because I'm going to get the other guys in here as well. If you know this, and you've got a choice, abort, get the surgery to change this, what do you do?
I'm real. I'm a realist. I abort.
Really? Love it. Love hearing this. Love hearing it. Love hearing it. Love hearing it. Let's go to Justin, who's the youngest of the bunch. Justin, you've got a choice. Where are you going to go? Abort, get the surgery to make them straight. What are you going to do?
Do the surgery.
You're going to get the surgery done. Okay, I like this. I like this. Okay, let's go into an older generation, pre-my generation. Let's go to Dennis. Dennis, what do you do? You leave it alone?
We love that child as if it's because it's our own.
Okay. No changes. No changes.
I mean, we love Justin. He's gay.
Oh!
That was an inside one. Sorry. I couldn't resist, Justin. That's what you get for supporting Obama.
What do you do? Mike, are you not there?
I'm here. Look, man, you ever been to a Broadway show?
Sure.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, of course.
Who do you think runs Broadway?
The Jews.
You like Elton John?
Sometimes.
You like Queen?
I do like Queen.
You like wearing clothes?
Yes, I like wearing clothes.
Do you like art? Do you like art and television?
Yes.
Everything we have that's any sort of culture in the world is full of gay people. I think we need gay people.
Okay. Fair argument. So you wouldn't move on this one. Okay, let's go to Derek, who I consider the real, real kind of masculine old school guy. Derek, come on. Derek, you got to be there. He's not there. He's
a gay rights rally.
I mean, gay people are necessary to the gentler side and the beautification of our society. If not for gay people, all we'd have is Hank Jr. and gangster rap.
Okay, so let's go to JC. Last but not least, what do you do?
You take that child, you love it, you nurture it, and you give it all of the love it can.
So you change nothing.
That's just not fun.
Look, the only celebrity I've ever actually shed a tear over dying was Freddie Mercury. Okay.
And
Freddie Mercury was the gayest human being on the face of the earth. If not, for gay people, we'd have no Freddie.
I will tell you this. He was a rock star. Rock star.
And would he have been what he was had he not been a homosexual?
Probably not, but you know what? I totally get your point. I love Freddie Mercury, too. I do. I can't lie.
I got a question for you before you go off here.
Brian Epstein managed the Beatles, and he was gay as anything. If not for a gay guy, we wouldn't have the damn Beatles. The greatest album in the history of rock and roll.
And which of us don't know the words to Wake Me Up Before You Go Over by Wham?
I couldn't hear you, JC.
Okay, which of us don't know the words to Wake Me Up Before You Go Over by Wham?
Sounds like you got a mouthful of chicken nuggets, dude.
I could have lived without Wake Me Up Before You Go Over.
Again, I said, which of us don't know the words to Wake Me Up Before You Go Over by Wham?
Yeah, but lived without Wake Me Up Before You Go Go, to be honest with you.
People are an essential part of our society. You know, you may not but if not for gay guys, we'd be savages.
I agree 100%. Final response. F.A. Chulo from Real Talk Blasters. When are we going to get you on the show, man?
Let's shoot for sometime next week.
Chulo translates to boss pimp, right?
That's me.
You have bitches? Are you a pimp?
Nah, I'm not a pimp. Just a rumor.
Listen to me. F.A. Chulo, both of you, today, and JC, today, work this out. Let's make it happen next week. People want you guys back on the air with us.
Y'all want to talk to me? Is that static?
All right, man, my parting words of advice for all you nice people is every time you go to the grocery store, go back to the bakery and ask them for those free 5-gallon buckets they have. Get 5-gallon buckets and fill them with rice, beans, and oatmeal. Every time you go to the store, buy some beans and rice and oatmeal. Trust me.
Hey, Reese.
Yeah. He's waiting for the apocalypse, ladies and gentlemen.
You think you'll ever dare use any of your shows as a demo reel?
Oh, man, that's true.
I plan on it. You guys have a great weekend. It's Reese on the Radio. We'll see you on Monday. 2 days from now.
Love you, Reese.
That's good.